Hurricanes, lightning, flooding, and tornadoes affect the entire state of Florida. And the team of meteorologists from the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network keep you informed around the clock. All year long, they are committed to providing in-depth weather coverage both over the radio and on the mobile app, Florida Storms. The Florida Public Radio Emergency Network is supported by WMNF and Citizens Property Insurance. Online at citizensfla.com.
88.5 WMNF wants to hear from local artists like you. If you're a poor around Tampa Bay, go to our website at WMNF.org. From there, click on Poets of the Month under the Programming tab. If you're selected, your poem will be broadcasted on our airwaves. Be one of WMNF's first Poets of the Month by going to WMNF.org.
You're listening to WMNF Tampa. This is Live Music Showcase. I'm your host, Ken Apperson. Today, I say it all the time, I'm delighted, but this day, it's especially true. We have one of my favorite people in the music community from Tampa Bay. He's a guitar-picking, cool son of a gun who might accidentally steal your girlfriend. Sean Kyle's in studio with us today. How you doing, Sean?
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey. Man, he's got a pretty guitar, and he sure knows how to play it. He's going to play us a couple of songs today. We're going to talk a little bit about The Last Waltz that's coming up at the Strass Center in the near future. I'm stoked about that. I think it's really cool that you guys do a recreation of that every year, just about every year.
It wasn't intended to be a reoccurring thing. It just, yeah. The first one sold out at the Crowbar. A couple years later, the second one sold out the Palladium. And this year, they bumped us up into the Strass. So that's a bigger order to fill, but the cast is amazing, so it's worth the ticket.
Sean's here, like I said, to play a couple of songs for him. A little bit about him, though. His background is, well, let's just say his resume is extensive. He's been on tour all over the country, multiple bands, played at South by Southwest almost as though it was a residency for a good stretch there for a while. He's basically accomplished a lot of the things that every local musician, especially the rock and roll musician, would like to accomplish in their career. And I can't wait to dig into some of those stories and times with you that we can, you know, get away with on the radio here.
Oh, today's going to be like that.
I think it's going to be a little like
that,
if that's okay with you.
Yeah, we can go there.
I think it'll sound good, but I'd love to hear your first song, if that's all right with you.
This song's about a couple rough nights spent in Greenpoint in Brooklyn. It's called The Black Rabbit.
We're running out of time, staying up and drinking all the wine. You're taking everything that's mine. We're gonna leave it all behind on the fire escape after two. Throw the New York Times litter down the avenue. You want something that's true. You stay out with me until the clock strikes three. Voices we can't see sing for you. Let them sing for me, and we're alive again, we're alive. We're alive again. How many times have you said, oh, it'd make your heart stop, you drop dead. Brooklyn girls, red-blooded. Oh, maybe it's true. I'm just a wreck like you. There's something to do. You stay out with me till the clock strike three. Voices you can't see sing for you. Let them sing for me, and we're alive again, we're alive again. At the end, my friend, is that the end? But if it's the end, then it's true. I guess that will do. You stay out with me until the clock strikes three. Voices you can't see sing for you, sing for me. And we're alive again, we're alive. We're alive again, we're alive. We're alive again.
Music Showcase on 88.5. I'm Ken Apperson. We're live in studio with Sean Kyle. What does that song mean to you, Sean?
It means don't mix lager and whiskey.
Lager and whiskey. What kind of trouble did that get you into?
Well, no, that there was a time where there was a music festival in New York called CMJ, College Music Journal Festival, and they nixed it a few years ago. I played the last one, actually, that they did. But before the last few years, it was one of the biggest industry festivals in the country. And so it'd be really the place that all the NPR style stations, all the college stations would go to see what was going to happen next. Similar to South by Southwest. But one of the cool things about going and doing that is I would get to see all the musicians and friends of mine that were in New York and in Brooklyn and Manhattan that, you know, I'm down here and I don't normally get to see them all the time unless I'm playing up there. So, I had some time off in between some things and was rolling through Brooklyn and goofing around at a lot of venues that were kind of legendary venues that aren't there anymore, like Death by Audio and Williamsburg and places like that. But I wound up meeting up with a buddy of mine in Greenpoint, and there's a old style English pub called the Black Rabbit, and they shipped all the furniture in from London. And the owners were all from England. And it was basically like a time machine into an 1800s British bar.
Wow.
And this is years ago when you could afford to live in Greenpoint.
Sure.
But I always say it was funny. Every single time I go to New York, like 3-4 months later, everybody had moved, you know, further out. So initially everybody was in Manhattan. Then they moved to Greenpoint. Then they moved to Williamsburg. Then they moved to Bushwick. And now everybody's in Queens.
So I'm laughing like, yeah. I know where any of those places are.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all of them have good pizza. So
that's all you need to know.
Yeah,
that's solid. I also do appreciate that you're scoring your storytelling as well while you're talking.
That's I can't help it.
You can't help it.
Yeah, it's too early. I got to be doing something.
As a songwriter, are you a guitarist first?
Oh man, nobody's ever asked me that. No, I'm not.
No.
I think of melody first.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it really matters what instruments it's on. I just think that it's, you know, I'm more of like a troubadour traveling musician, and it's very hard to carry a large piano around. They require a team of people, and yeah. That's a rough one.
Yeah, so an instrument is a tool for writing rather than the thing that you channel the music through. Because some people are like that. They need that instrument to kind of start the process. But I think that there are those of us who like to start in our heads first.
A song could be anything, really.
It's true.
You could be walking down the street and you could hear traffic create a rhythm, and there's the rhythm for the song. You know, you could hear some strange noises or people talking in the street, and you think you know what they're saying, and all of a sudden those are some lyrics. It doesn't necessarily have to even be what they're saying, you know. One of my favorite things about that is John Prine, legendary songwriter, lived here in Gulfport for a while, one of America's greatest songwriters. Back in the 70s, he was a mail delivery man.
Yeah.
He used to walk around on his routes, and he would just go through his routes, and he would create songs in his head. Went to an open mic one night in the Chicago's kind of wild open mic scene in the 70s, the folky scene. Saw some guy on stage. Was like, man, you're no good. And the guy's like, you can do better? And he's like, yeah, actually, I can. Okay, here's the guitar. And that was John Prine's first show. And a few months later, Chris Christopherson heard about him. And next thing you know, he had a recording deal.
There it was.
And literally, the guy's just on a mail route singing songs in his head, mm-hmm. writing song after song in his head. I mean, I think that you could just, you don't have to be Mozart or composer or anything like that. You could just have a melody in your head and figure it out.
You just need to be honest.
You just need to be honest about it.
Yeah.
And also not forget that even those little song ideas matter. You don't have to be in a big fancy studio or anything like that for it to be consequence. You could literally roll out of bed and be singing it in the shower, and that might be it. And for some of us, that happens. Like, you stop what you're doing and you break out the recorder and you sing it along so you don't forget it later.
Song comes on the wind over the hills. So if you're listening right now on the radio. Thank you so much for listening. You can also listen to this show and all the other shows on WMNF at WMNF.org. You can listen live and you can listen to past shows in our archive. There's an app. You can download it from the App Store or Google Play. Just search WMNF Community Radio. You'll find it there. We're also live streaming right now on Facebook, so hopefully you're tuning in on the live stream here on Facebook. I love checking out the comments and sharing those with our guests when we get them. So if you feel like commenting about the show today, feel free to do so. We'd love for you to interact with us. We're always happy to hear that. Always happy to see that. So I would love to dig into your rock and roll reputation as it precedes you. But first, I'd love to hear another song.
All right. Now you got me scared, all right.
A little bit of sweat makes the show authentic. You're listening to Live Music Showcase on 88.5.
This is a song about New Orleans.
Charlotte's got problems, the problems got friends. They come round for tea and she lets them right in New Orleans nights, chasing bright lights. When everything gets you uptight, we're pulling your strings, you hear the bells ring. Horses for courses and lovers they bring. When we meet right by the feet, it keeps us too sweet. And I left my boots outside of your door. And I burned up the matches we slept on your floor. And I never loved someone like you before. Calls, dimly lit walls. There's nothing like all of the stars. Marie Laveau, for all you that know. She wakes up at night, takes off her clothes, pulling our strings, hear the bells ring. At Pat O'Brien's, you learn how to sing. Fountains on fire, piano wire. Never ever call me a liar. Like you before, and I never loved someone like you before. Till we're always picking a side, always picking a side, always picking a side. Always picking a side. But I left my boots outside of your door. And I burned up the matches we slept on your floor. And I never loved someone. We're all here picking a side. We're all here picking a side.
You're listening to Live Music Showcase on 88.5. We're live in studio with Sean Kyle. He's sharing some of the work that he's written over the years, recent and otherwise. He's going to be performing the Last Waltz at the Strass Center. What's the date on that?
That is November 19th at the Strass. It's a fundraiser for the Neva Foundation, which has to do with independent venues. And of course, us musicians who've been so negatively affected by all the closures and shutdowns. And really, that organization started to band together a lot of the independent venues and kind of get them together and on the same team to help sort of offset the conglomeration of all these larger entities just buying up all of our great music venues in the country.
Yeah, that was a thing. When the venues started to go downhill because of the pandemic, that was a big thing. When they started going downhill, big companies started swooping in and buying those properties, kind of waiting for them to fail, and the idea. And so this great organization started very grassroots style, and
yeah,
a bunch of them all just started communicating, and next thing you know, you've got a national organization. And one of the biggest champions of that organization, the Florida champion of that organization, was is Tom DeGeorge of the Crowbar.
Oh yeah, and sure. And there's just, he's just one of the best people in general.
Most definitely.
Absolutely. And he's always tried to do the right thing, not only by the artists but by the other venues, and really importantly, by the people that come to see the shows. And mm-hmm. and I think that's what this is all about, really. It's about getting everybody together and realizing that it is symbiotic with the artists and the venues and the musicians themselves. And the last waltz just happens to coincide with that. Like I said, we'd done it once before on a larger level. And the people that are involved in it, the performers are just amazing. Have Gun Will Travel, of course, is the band. Will Quinlan is Bob Dylan. Thomas Wynn, one of my buddies forever, one of my best buds, he is coming back to be Van Morrison.
Wow.
I look forward to seeing him do the high kicks.
The high kicks, yeah, that's important.
And there's just an enormous amount of great people involved in this, and it's just going to be a one-of-a-kind concert.
I definitely want to dig into what the last waltz is, because there might be people listening who have no idea what we're talking about. And we'll do that in a little bit.
Yeah.
And I just want to put a bow on that little thought, just because, you know, one of my favorite things about this event is that, you know, Tom DeGeorge is helping promote it, and he owns Crowbar, but it's at the Straz. It's
exactly
a perfect example of a venue owner putting his money where his mouth is, you know, not just talking the talk, but like walking the walk and saying, we're all in this together. We all have to stick together throughout this whole thing. It's not technically over yet.
Yeah, yeah.
For a lot
exactly.
of them.
It's not.
You know?
And really, I don't think, I just went out and visited one of my best friends who still is in the music agency business out in California. And he, you know, a lot of things are getting back to normal, but a lot of the touring artists and then artists like myself, you know, I don't sell 10,000 tickets.
Sure.
Know? So if you're an artist that can sell that many tickets, you could get back on the road right now and be okay. The artists that were playing like 500 person to 1500 person rooms, we're all affected. Like a lot of us in essence are out of work. And a lot of that's just now starting to come back, but still there's going to be a little bit of adjustment to whatever the new normals are. And obviously, I think at the very least, a lot of us are going to be changed by the experiences we've had naturally.
Yeah.
And then I think also the venue landscape is going to be a little bit different too. And music festival landscapes, especially given kind of some of the recent things that have happened. I mean, they're still trying to figure out.
The dust is still trying to settle.
How to make it all make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, it's awesome to have M&F here because everybody involved is a music lover. Just by nature, and it's such a big deal to have a station like this here, and you know, to support us, have me on to talk about this, I really appreciate it. And also to get to see some of my friends Mark and Pam, Brian, everybody. I haven't seen you guys in a while. It's good to see y'all.
Absolutely.
That's Mark Perfetti in there on the soundboard, making everything sound like butter. We really appreciate you, Mark. Thank you, man. So you know what? I think we'll wait till the next talk and break here to dig into your rock and roll history. I'd love to hear another song, frankly. I think this is a good place
to put one. You're just teasing me. All right.
You know what? That's what I do. You give them a little bit. You keep them coming back. If we can. If we can. That's the hope. You're listening to Live Music Showcase on 88.5 WMNF.
This song's from my buddy Chris. It's called Cannon.
like brothers do. When everything we said was meant to be, all those lights were shining on you. Shining on you. And on the bridge climbing high, above us midnight sky. The next day I bailed you out, but you wouldn't say no anyhow. Well, I guess we're burning down the bridges. Always at night you're burning bright. Your head, oh my, this is our time. No way, no how, we'll live right now. We'll live right now. Others always can disappear for months at a time. Prodigal son forsaken, smoke it fills the air. But I'm coming round again, as if we're only friends. When you push me down, I don't forget how. When there's fire and you're burning, burning down your bridges. Always at night you're burning bright. Your head, oh my, this is our time. No way, no how, we live right now.
You're listening to Live Music Showcase on 88.5. We're live in studio with Sean Kyle. So, Sean.
Hey, buddy.
You have shared with me a couple of really great, really interesting stories. I'm not going to tell them because they're yours. And I find them, I think they're really interesting. And to kind of focus us a little bit, there is this kind of glamorization that does often come with like touring.
Right.
And being on the road as a rock musician, and as someone that has done that successfully multiple times, would you say that glamorization of, is there anything accurate about it, or is it just, you know, glitz and glamour for movies and television?
I think it depends on who you are.
Okay.
It depends on what you're there for and what you're looking for.
Well, for you personally, though.
Yeah. I think I could quote one of the members of the band in saying it's an impossible way of life.
Okay.
And they would know, you know.
Yeah.
A couple of them died on the road. It's man, that's a very tough question. I guess the easiest way to put it would be that there are moments of sheer excitement in front of large audiences that are capped by whatever you want to make of it. Because, like, basically you show up to a town, you roll out of the van or the bus, you get to the venue, you set up the venue, you do all this stuff, and then you're on stage for like 45 minutes. That's it. 45 minutes of glory. And a friend of mine in Nashville I asked her why she wasn't touring anymore, and she was like, "I the glory was never enough for me."
Hmm.
And I didn't understand at the time because, you know, I was in Nashville for a good reason then, and I wasn't on vacation. And I'm like, well, I don't know what the hell she means by that. And some time later when I came back home and like took time off, I thought about that a lot. And then I realized it's like, either those 45 minutes on the stage are enough for you to keep you doing it again and again and again and again, or you're not going to be able to do it. And we see artists that happen to artists all the time.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why artists find other ways to keep them, you know, really, the other 23 hours of the day, keep them occupied in interesting ways.
Sure.
And it's not always the healthiest of ways, you know. For me though, I don't know. I fell in love with the romantic idea of almost like the Beats and Kerouac and Neil Cassidy and those kind of lunatics who were just jumping in cars and driving across the country. And when I was 17, I lied about my age and I joined a band, you know, and immediately was playing gigs, even though I probably had no business doing it, and just never stopped, you know. And all of a sudden, it if you're lucky and if you devote yourself to it to an extent, all of a sudden you quite often find yourself doing these things that you never dreamed of and playing these places that you've only read about and meeting these artists that you've looked up to.
Yeah. So give me an example of maybe a short example, or, you know, paraphrase if you like to, but give me an example of one of the grittier, maybe more difficult, maybe a time on road that made you question why you were on the road.
Oh man. I think one of the strangest things of it, and this is something I've talked to other younger artists about recently when I'm doing producer work or I'm doing co-writing work with people, is I kind of give them a heads up that you need to take time to appreciate where you've been and what you've done and what's happened. Because similar to, you know, I've had a couple friends that I've never been in the military myself, but I've had a couple friends that are in the military, and, you know, they're getting thrown around the country and they're getting bounced around. They're in one place, they're in another place, they're in another place, they're in another place. The next thing, they're back home. And you don't really have time to process what's really happened to you. Because quite often either your life or your job or whatever doesn't let you. And I think being a musician, a touring musician, quite often does that to people. It's like you're in a different town every single day. Different experiences. You're meeting like another 100 or 1,000 people or so every day. There's no way that we can mentally process that sort of thing. And it's eventually that normally gets to everyone. And we handle it in different ways. And I think that that's like, that's not super gritty. It's not super scary, but it is very, very real. And it can totally paralyze you as an artist, because you wake up one day in a city and it's like, I remember when I first came back here and I've been on the road for like 70 days.
Yeah.
And I'm back home and I woke up like thinking I was in another city every morning for weeks. You know, I kept waking up in a panic in the middle of the night thinking that I, you know, needed to check out of a hotel or...
It's like extreme jet lag.
Oh bleep, did I lock the tour van? You know, like that kind of stuff. You become shell-shocked almost. And everybody handles it in different ways, you know. And some people are more adept at handling it than others, but everybody is affected by that much travel and that much misadventure, you know. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of gritty stories to it. I mean, They're early on in my career, most of the bands we were touring with were almost verging on punk rock, and hotel rooms were trashed, and TVs were thrown out of windows, and we thought we were in the 70s, and you know, band members brawling on stage and stuff like that.
I want to ask about that. Mm. Band members brawling on stage. So that's one of the biggest like highlights that people who are aware of who you are and where you came from in your previous bands. That's one of the first things people bring up. Man, they used to get in fist fights on stage and all that stuff. Like, they say it enthusiastically. And granted, sure, it adds clout to the rock and roll persona that the band may or may not have been, you know, cultivating intentionally or unintentionally. But it added a little bravado. It may have helped sell some tickets. But was all of that worth it for that level of conflict on stage? Because I know it's not something that was contrived.
No. I mean, that was in a weird moment where myself and everybody in that group at the time were all in. And we'd been on the road for a little bit, and we had suddenly went from being like almost a garage band to, you know, playing a Grammy showcase, to having residencies in Miami during Art Basel, to all of this crazy stuff, and like being in the Rolling, being in Rolling Stone, and all these things just suddenly happened. And like I said before, like how does your brain make sense of that? You know, your energy level goes up. And it wasn't a hobby. It's like that we literally 24/7. Most of us all live together, and then we're all together in the van, and it's you become this strange family. But the stakes start to feel really, really high, and nobody's messing around. And the amount of energy you're putting out on audiences ramps up, and all of a sudden you deserve to have these audiences. But the consequence of that is that everybody, unless you've gone through it before and you have like a little bit of prudence or wisdom, it's very easy for it to be so electrified and so charged and so intense that like, yeah, something would go wrong. People start throwing drum sets, throwing guitars, you know, getting in brawls with one another over petty stuff that maybe happened 3 days before, but it folds out on stage all of a sudden in the middle of a show in front of an audience. And it'd be one thing if it were like, you know, it was like a pop band or a Disney band or something.
Right.
But people were paying to see something that was really honest, really raw, really real.
Yeah.
Kind of life and death every moment on stage. Mm-hmm. And like no safety net, no pre-recorded tracks, no nothing.
I right.
mean, it's truly is the older mindset of performance, to where the concert, the stakes are high. You're living and dying on stage every night. You literally, maybe your last show, and you perform that way. But what can happen because of that is that things could get really, really hairy. There's videos of cool guitars being destroyed by me on stage. I think somewhere there's footage of us playing Tropical Heat Wave, and me and the guitar player got into it, and we're having quite a time in the middle of Tropical Heat Wave. And then, you know, later everybody hopefully forgives each other, and you hop in the van and you go to the next city. But the consequences of that, I mean, that those become isolated incidents in a longer career. And, you know, at the very least, you hope that people realize that you were really trying to do everything you possibly could to give them your entire soul. And maybe they get it, or maybe they don't. But at that point, I'm in another city and it doesn't matter. You know?
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
You give every ounce of energy that you have and hope it was enough.
And either they get it or they don't.
And either they get it or they don't.
You can't control it past that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's comedians talk about like somebody reviewing a comedy show. And it's like, what are you going to do? I'm already in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like six cities away now, and you're writing a review about something that happened last week.
And by the time you come back around, they've already forgotten
about
the review.
Yeah, they forgot about it.
Yeah.
But the consequences become very high when you're literally living and dying on stage every single night, and you totally are devoted to it. There's nothing else. That's
I love
it.
That.
That price becomes high because you don't have all the normal things that most people strive to have. You know, you don't necessarily have a life besides the performance and the art.
The price of glory is always high, and it always gets paid.
Oh yeah, it definitely gets paid.
So on that note, I want to dig a little bit more into like the history behind The Last Waltz and where it kind of came from. But first, I'd love to hear another song.
Okay, yeah, I can do that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Sean.
No, thank you.
My enthusiasm is genuine, as though I know it sounds a little hyperbolic, but truly, you know, these days I think of you as a friend, so it's really a thrill to have you in here today.
Oh, man, I really appreciate that.
You're listening to Live Music Showcase on 88.5. We're live in studio with Sean Kyle.
Through the mountains I will go, heedless of the wind or snow. A million miles I'm walking through, to leave the light on here for you. Somewhere in this town, this love is real, and I want you to tell me just how you feel to be the last dance before it's the night. The last love before it's the light. you're the last picture showing this time. They can't shut us down. A million people making the sounds. We take the subways underground. A million hearts you'll beat right through. I'll leave the light on here for you. Somewhere in this town, this love is real. And I want you to tell me just how you feel to be the last dance before it's light. The last love before it's the night. People are at sleep. The desert's quiet underneath. A million miles I'm running through. I'll leave the light on here for you. Somewhere in this town, this love is real. And I want you to tell me just how you feel to be the last dance before it's the light. The last love before it's the night.
Listening to Live Music Showcase on 88.5. I'm your host, Ken Apperson. We're live in studio with Sean Kyle. That was his song, Last Picture Show. I love that song. I can't wait for you to release it in some way, shape, or form, some capacity.
I am working on a couple volumes of music at the moment, wrapping them up.
You have quite a few in your archive there that you haven't released, I'm sure.
The good and the bad of working in the music industry is you send them dozens and dozens and dozens of songs all the time, and the reply is, well, that's cool, what else do you have?
Yeah, these little pieces of your heart and soul that you package very carefully and meticulously, and they're like, that's great, what else you got?
Yeah, and that's also how you wind up seeing artists when they get out of a record deal or something like that. All of a sudden they're dropping all of this music.
Mm-hmm.
Or they drop this B-sides record with like two albums worth of material. It's because we've all been sitting on this stuff waiting to release it, and the man has told us not to.
So since you don't have the man telling you at this point
right now, oh god, that's great.
Do you have an idea of when you are going to release some of that music?
I'd say like
no promises, but a ballpark, because I personally am very excited about it.
I have an EP that I'm trying to get wrapped up at the beginning of 22.
Nice.
For release, and probably go back to Austin and a couple other places after that. But then another couple EPs or a full length immediately after that before the end of the year.
I love that.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about The Last Waltz a little bit. Coming up at the Straz Center. I love it. What's the date on that again?
November 19th.
November 19th at the Straz. I'm sure that you can, if you would like to, go to the Straz Center's website and you can purchase tickets for that right there. If they're not already close to sold out, they might be. You never know, especially after this show today. We have an avid listener, an avid group of listeners, hopefully growing number of listeners who are into that kind of thing right up their alley. So tell me a little bit about The Last Waltz. Let's assume I've never heard of it before. I don't know what it is. Where did it come from?
Okay. The Last Waltz was the last concert planned by the members of the band.
Right.
And you know that a group is special when they can just call themselves the band.
Yeah.
But to take it back a ways, they were a group of musicians from Canada and America who were backing up some people in the 60s. And at some point, Bob Dylan ran into them. And Bob Dylan at the time was riding pretty high and he was going electric. And all of a sudden, he's like, I want you to be my band. And they're like, well, what do we call ourselves? And then after a bit of discussion, they just decided to call themselves The Band.
Truly creative.
And some amazing music was released, and the band was releasing their own music at the same time as well.
Right.
And Legendary Records came out. Their songs like Ophelia. I'm not putting myself on the spot.
Do you know the set list yet, Sean?
I'm only on the hook, thankfully, to be Eric Clapton at the event. And why this is called The Last Waltz in general is because the band got to the point where they got tired of touring and they were going to do different things. And Martin Scorsese, the legendary filmmaker, decided to document the final concert, which of course wound up all of a sudden featuring Bob Dylan, Eric Clapton, Van Morrison, Joni Mitchell, Howling Wolf, I mean, Dr. John, the list goes on, Ronnie Hawkins. I mean, it became this legendary history-making concert, and the film and the documentary of it is a little bit notorious because it cataloged this weird moment in time where these musicians, under the pressure of the industry, decided they didn't want to do this anymore, but at the same time were kind of being set free on stage in front of a packed theater audience over the course of a few nights. And you know, Neil Young and other people were involved as well. It's absolutely phenomenal. And the concert film became a legendary film and kind of a touchstone of what it was to make a concert film.
Yeah, it was one of Martin Scorsese's first kind of forays into a production on that level. If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong about that, but that's from what I understand, that was one of his first really big production concert.
And also, it's completely different than what he was doing before.
That's, yeah.
And the value of the film itself shows the filmic quality of a world class director,
right?
And the cinematography is beautiful, and the music is still influential to this day, and that's why that concert kind of set the tone for what a live recorded and documented concert could be.
Yeah, to put it into perspective for people listening, like, it's kind of like the best, not even some of, like all, almost all of the best, most iconic, now legendary performers, musicians, songwriters, somehow managing to, you know, stifle their own egos and set aside their own self-interest to do this cohesive, collective thing. And that's what that supergroup was. And then you take that and you say, this is the last time it's ever going to happen.
Right.
And that whole, you know, well, it's my last day of work at this job that I just quit. I'm going to do whatever I want. And when you put musicians in that circumstance, especially those particular names, my God.
There's a lot of catharsis there.
Catharsis.
And sort of power. What I was talking about earlier with the pressures of the professional music industry.
Right.
None of those people got involved in playing music to be in the appropriate, you know, that wasn't the dream.
They were artists.
The dream was to create art. Yeah, pure art. And for one night, all of these people who had gotten almost, their fame had gotten burdensome, all got together for one night and just let it all hang out and had a party on stage. And the music is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I think all of us that are involved in this hope to be able to kind of commit to that as well while we're on stage. Because this is really the only time that any of us is ever all in a band together. It's just not. It's not something we normally do.
Right. So with all of that in mind, do you feel any pressure to live up to the character that you're playing on stage that night?
Oh, man, I'm just Eric Clapton. No pressure, right?
Sure, fair enough.
Luckily for me, I grew up being really influenced by traditional blues music.
It shows.
And primitive music, too, and field recording music and things like that I've found really influential. Clapton, of course, originally was a very traditional. He was a total, I want to be a bluesman from Chicago.
Big time.
The song that he plays further on up the road at the concert is a traditional song from those eras. And so it gives the group a chance to swing it and air it out, you know. Whereas some of the other songs, like Forever Young or I Shall Be Released or things like that, are a little bit more gospel oriented. And then there's just straight up boogie woogie numbers as well and dance numbers as well. So it's all over the place, just like the artist would be.
It's a good time for everyone. Everyone should head out if they want to. That'd be great. I'd love to hear another song from you, if you don't mind.
I can do that.
If you're not too troubled.
I know a few more.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Slap one together for us. You're listening to Live Music Showcase on 88.5 WMNF.
Got their own pains that can't explain. We're all together walking in the rain, but you can't explain the change. Till our hearts do not beat the same. Dreams that make steady hands shake, but I'm awake. Hotels, fires, drowning in the lake. I'm awake. But change. Oh, change. Till our hearts do not beat the same. Inside of you, what to do. Hotels, highways, lipstick on the mirror, what to do. What to do. Well, I'll change. Until my heart does not beat the same.
You're listening to Live Music Showcase on 88.5 WMNF. I'm your host, Ken Apperson. We do this show every Friday at 2 p.m. Thank you so much for listening this week. We have a nice long list of fantastic volunteers that help out on the show, just like all of the other shows on WMNF. Everyone here is volunteer. We're all donating our time to put this show together to produce the best possible show that we can. And our show has a much bigger team than most just because we have a lot going on behind the scenes. For example, our sound mixer, Mark Perfetti, making everything sound gorgeous and crystal clear. Our video director, Bob Hoke. Cameraman, Ed Lehman. Marcy Connor's usually here. She's out this week. Our video production is Richard Stone. Audio assistants, Pamela Robinson and Brian Van Fleet. And our board op today is our commander-in-chief, Sam Vall, over there on the ones and twos on the board, making sure that this signal gets out to the air, to the airwaves and to into your radios. So thank you to the entire team. Thank you guys, everyone on the team, for being here, for giving your time and helping to produce this awesome show. So last but not least, of course, thank you, Sean, for being on the show today.
Thanks for inviting me, Ken. I really appreciate it. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. You know, the show got lambasted, I guess you could say, for a little while because of the COVID restrictions that were reasonable. We had to keep everybody safe, couldn't let anybody in the building, could do anything in this studio here. So we're thrilled to be able to start having full bands, live bands back in studio. Speaking of which, next week we have Ashley Smith and the Random Occurrence. Very excited about that.
They're so cool.
They're super cool. She's got such a great voice. Make sure you stick around. Coming up next is the Rhythm Revival with Reverend Billy. Great show, great show. I say it every week, but it never gets tired. The reality is they play great music, and you get to find out a little bit about that music. You get to dive deep into some of the stories behind those songs and where they come from, and the artists that put them out, because we all know there's a huge number of those artists who have really interesting stories. Lots of podcasts about those these days, that's for sure. Sean, would you mind taking us out with a song?
How long of a song?
Long enough.
All right, I got it.
And I'll tell you what, too, before you do, I want to read you a couple of these comments. Sean Kyle sounds amazing. From Katarina Lauver. I think that's how you say it. Let's see. We did have a question. Maybe we'll get to that, but probably not. The Last Waltz is great, and I love the band. I like the Borscht Belt cover band, though. The Last Schmaltz. Right. In parentheses, I'll be here all week, folks. Ask me about the drink special.
That's gotta David, be Wacky Jackie.
That's David Bryan. That's okay. David Bryan. He's another programmer here at the station. And I do have one that's a little bit critical, only because Katarina says, curious that an artist of that caliber doesn't have as big a presence streaming services and places like that. I think that we're gonna see a big change in the near future, Mr. Sean Kyle.
Well, I did come home to retire and that didn't work out.
We couldn't keep you, couldn't stay away. Everyone kept pulling you back in. That's how it goes, though. Oh, and we had one more. There was one more very nice comment in the Friends of WMNF's Live Music Showcase. Huge fan from the Beauvilles days, DAZE. Great to hear you on the air, Sean. Great cause, too. Thanks for all you do for the local musicians. And if that's not a bow on the rest of the show, I don't know what is. Because if you're from the local music community, you know Mr. Sean Kyle has quite a heavy influence on the young bucks that are trying to come up these days.
That's very kind.
All right. That's the show, and thank you guys so much for listening. Stick around for Rhythm Revival with Reverend Billy coming up next. WMNF Tampa. Sean, feel free to take us out with a song.
And as you're walking through the snow, with black boots leave the footprints in it. And what you ought to know, oh, the heartache is infinite. And this whole town could fall apart. There's nothing worse than our broken hearts. You hanging on the beating inside the start. This is our afterglow. Walking through it, and what you ought to know. Anything you want, just do it. In this whole time.